hold and get a fire stoked back up in our hearts and lives and get us back to where we need to be, close to the Lord. I got one more announcement. Sister Peggy wanted me to let everyone know that you're welcome to come over to their place Wednesday evening to see the fireworks. They're right over on the river, and they are just right across the river from where they shoot the fireworks off there in Northeast. So she said Wednesday evening, you're welcome to come over to see the fireworks. And then next Sunday, July 7th, she's invited everyone that wants to come over for lunch after church. So I know you'll be made to feel welcome. We've never been there and not felt welcome. Amen. And you'll be blessed. And it's gracious of her to open her home. But you're welcome to come. So she's giving you the invitation. And you got the opportunity there. I've been excited about this Youth Sunday. And Brother Zach Morris. Got to meet Brother Zach here a couple months ago. And it's just like the Bible says, I said in Sunday school class, the Bible says spirit bears witness to spirit. And he just spoke to my heart. And then I got to talking to Brother Jason. And Brother Jason just told me what a blessing this young man has been to him then at Emerton and the folks there. And how folks got saved. I think he was away and you preached on Wednesday night down there and somebody got saved. And I said, praise God, using this young man. And never met Brother Zach. You need to take time to get to know him. But I'm glad our young people were here today, because I got a lot of young people that tell me they can't. They can't. They're afraid. They're too shy. We don't have excuses for not doing things for the Lord. You know what they say an excuse is? They say an excuse is a lie that's wrapped in the skin of an excuse. There are legitimate excuses sometimes why we can't do things. Legitimate reasons. But generally an excuse is because we just don't want to do something. And I'm not saying this to make you feel little, but Brother Zach has cerebral palsy. A lot of people would say, well, I can't, I've got this and I've got that, I can't do something. But I've never seen him without a smile on his face. I've never seen him that he wasn't just praising God for God's blessing on his life. And God uses him to preach. God's seen souls saved. So the next time you say, I can't, throw the excuse out the window. I said, I can't, but God can. God can use me. He can't. I can't do anything, but God can use me. I can't do anything, but God can do all things. Amen. Brother Zach, you come. Got your two full cups of water up here, so you can. You let it happen, brother.
My grace is sufficient for thee. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I don't care who we are, what we're dealing with, we all have weaknesses. And we need to learn to put those weaknesses in the Lord's hand and let him use them for his glory. I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. And the Lord's good, and he's good all the time. And we just had Vacation Bible School this week, and we appreciate everything y'all gave us for VBS, and we have VBS in another church. Came and got, you know, the decorations. And, you know, it wasn't for not. We saw some kids get saved, and I saw that the VBS here, you guys saw some kids get saved. And the labor is not in vain. And we do it to see people get saved, and that's the best thing that will ever happen to anybody. I remember the day I got saved, and I tell you what a day that was, and what a day that will be when we get to heaven. And so I'm thankful for that. We're going to be in the book of James. And the Lord has been so good to me this week. He's good to me every week. But I know it's good when the Lord meets with you. And you know that what you got, what I got this week was for me. And I'm thankful for that. And I'll just share my quick testimony. When I was born, the umbilical cord got wrapped around my neck, and I lost oxygen to my brain, and my development was not always on schedule. But the Lord had a plan, and when I was 18 months old, I went to Kennedy Krieger, and they diagnosed me with cerebral palsy, and besides salvation, I'm thankful for my disability. Amen. I'm glad that God can get the glory out of this. Amen. A lot of people say, why would God allow this to happen? Because I tell you, if everything was running on the train, if everything was going perfect, we would have no need to rely on Him. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I need the power of God to rest upon me. Because I can't do this alone, and I need Him to do it. And if He don't do it, if He don't come down and help me to this morning and open up hearts and open up eyes and open up minds, nothing's going to get done. It's only by the grace of God. And I saw this week, I was reading in one of my books that grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. And when Christ got up on that cross, He was showing the grace of God because He loved us. And so at 18 months old, He said I would never walk or talk, but I'm so glad the Lord had other plans. And I've been able to accomplish so much through Him. But He's had His hand about my life in several parts, but also, more importantly, in salvation. I've been to church my whole life, and I thought I was saved, and I got baptized. I don't even know how old I was. But anyway, my mom was addicted to narcotic pain medication, and she struggled with that. So her and my dad ended up... they didn't divorce, but they just went their separate way. We moved to South Carolina to help take care of my grandmother, and I started going to church, and thank God for people that drive buses and are willing to labor for the Lord. They were picking me up, and I was going on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and the Lord convicted me that I was lost on my way to hell, and that I needed Him to save me. And I remember right there on a Wednesday night that I gave my life to the Lord. And I not made it easy for Him, but I'm so glad that He never gave up on me, and I'm so glad that He will never give up on me. And that's the same for all of us here today. If you're here today, you're not here by your own choice. You're not here by your own, your own fruition. You're here by the providence of God. God wanted everyone that's here to be here. And I pray that God would just bless our time together. And, so that's my testimony. I got saved and God moved me right back up here. So He knows what He's doing. So we're going to be in James 1, and we're just going to read one verse. And amen. There's a lot in it, and I'm thankful. So James 1:1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word, to humble myself, Lord, to decrease myself, to empty myself, to fill myself with you, Lord. I need you. Lord, I need you to bless your word, bless the preacher, Lord. I pray that this message would help people today, be an encouragement, Lord. And I pray that if there's not here, any here, Lord, that don't know you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they surrender their life to you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your ability to draw sinners. I thank you for your son, Jesus, that came to save sinners and not the righteous, Lord. There's none righteous, Lord. It's all you. It's all yours now. Lord, I pray you just help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Two boys in a boarding school were assigned similar duties, such as clearing tables, mopping floors, and so on. One of the boys was very unhappy at this type of work and would skim through his duties very unsatisfactorily and skip away to play. The other boy, observing this, would very unobtrusively put the finishing touches on his pal's work, and he kept at it for quite some time. Ultimately, it was brought to the attention of the faculty, and they asked the diligent boy why he was finishing up the negligent boy's work. Was it because he felt indebted to him in some way? No, said the worker. You see, the Bible said that whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And I want to be great, so I thought I would try it the Lord's way. The Lord intends for us to be servants.
That's right, yeah.
Servants of him. Servants of Christ. And I want to talk about James, but ultimately we're going to get to Jesus. And that's why we're here, to preach Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said, if you don't preach Christ, you might as well just sit down until you got something to preach. And I'm telling you, it has to be all about Jesus. So James 1:1, he was the half-brother of Jesus. He was an unbeliever until after the resurrection. And I'm glad that Jesus didn't stay in that grave. I'm glad that it ain't like any other religion where all these gods are dead. Buddha, Allah, all of them, they're dead. But I tell you, there's an empty grave to prove that my Savior lives. And I'm glad that we can go to him.
Amen, brother.
I'm glad. And then when he got saved, the Lord used him. He became a leader in the church. He was a leader. And Paul, when Paul had been converted, he went to James, and that's telling, because Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and he went to James. He's confided in James. Significant church matters were to go to him and through him. He was martyred. He died an ugly death. He was thrown off the edge of the temple and then stoned and then beaten to death by an angry mob. He was committed to his flock. He was committed to truth. And then this was the first book written in the New Testament. But I want to show you that James, although God used him, he was a leader. I want to tell you it ain't by circumstance that he starts out and he says, James, a servant. We are all called to be servants. That word means slave. We are all called to be slaves to Christ. We were bought with a price. So James shows humility. Bible says if we humble ourselves and pray, that he will hear that prayer and heal our land. And I tell you, we got too many people trying to be leaders and trying to fill positions that they weren't called to fill. They're not doing what Christ has called them to do, whatever that is. And if we would just humble ourselves and realize that they're pastor, preacher, person that cleans the bathroom, there is no difference. There might be different responsibilities, but it's all important because at the end of the day, we are servants of Christ. So not only did James show humility, Jesus came as all God and all man when we couldn't go to him. We cannot work our way to heaven. It's not by our good works. There's none good, not one. There was only one that lived a morally perfect life, and that was Jesus Christ. And when we couldn't go to him, he came to us. And salvation is nothing we did. It's all what he did. And all he asked us to do is to choose to trust Jesus. John 6:44, no man come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So he's humble. In case you all want a title, the sacrifice of a servant. He devalues his importance. He puts all of the importance on Christ. We are nothing without him. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens in us. That means we can't do nothing without him. But through him, we can do all things. We're living in a tough time, but if we let the power of God rest upon us, he'll use us. And I tell you, I don't care what the news say. I don't care what anybody else said. God is surely moving. He's still saving old sinners. We saw that in your VBS and our VBS. Testimonies on Facebook. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. What matters at the end of the day, when you die and leave this world, there's two places. There's hell and heaven. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that very thing last night. Hell is not a good place to go, and we all know. No, it's hot and it's burning. And I'll tell you, it's meant for devil and his angels. I'm glad I'm not going there. But then I was thinking about the other aspect of going to hell. Eternal separation from God. The one that created you, the one that molded you, the one that has a purpose for your life. And you're going to be eternally separated. When all you got to do is put your trust and faith in him. So, he humbles himself. He's a slave to the Savior.
Amen.
Jesus was in perfect obedience to the Father. He lived a sinless life. He was perfect. He knew what it was about. He knew his purpose. He lived a life we could not live. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All is all. All is all. There's none exempt. It was a life that he can relate to ours. I'm glad that a holy, righteous God came down on earth and lived a sinless life in the flesh. He dwelt among us. And I'm glad that he can relate to our lives.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Aren't you glad that we have a God today that understands what we go through, understands the struggles that we deal with, and understands the strength we need and the grace we need? And I'm glad that John writes that I'm not saying sin. But when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
I'm glad that where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Amen.
You just got to confess and forsake it. Repent, turn away from it and turn back to God. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. We were talking in Sunday school. This was a blessing. About dying to yourself. And I'll tell you, if we're not careful and we don't die to ourselves, that old man's going to come out.
Yeah.
And you'll know it.
Yeah.
There's a Holy Spirit that lives inside you to bear witness to the fact that the old man has came out.
That's right.
And that's real. There's a battle that goes on. The problem in today's society is they want to sin, but they want to save you. You do not get it both ways. You either have sin or have the Savior. You know, Jude talks about turning the grace of God into lasciviousness or looseness. Grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. So a holy, righteous God got up on a wooden cross and suffered a death that should have been our death.
Right.
That's something that we should never take for granted.
Amen.
Shall we continue in sin? God forbid.
Amen.
We live in a society today. And I try not to think about Christianity in a American. Let me tell you, the true gospel is not the American dream. I'm telling you, James was martyred, one of many, and we complain about stuff that is inconsequential, it's unimportant. People are dying today for Christ. A Christian should be conforming to the image of Christ.
Amen.
It's the grace of God that brings salvation, and it's also the very thing that keeps us. It's the motivator, the fuel. I'll tell you. I've been driving probably for about 6 years, and I tell you, I got to be honest with you, there's been about 3-4 times where I just let that tank go. I see that light go up, light come on, and I'm like, all right, I got 40 miles. And I'm like, let's see how far I can go. And I'm not going to sit here and lie, and I'll tell you the truth. I probably ran that gas 3 or 4 times. I remember one time I'm in Dundalk, and it just puttered out. And I got on over, and I called my wife, and I said, "You will not believe this." She said, "What's that?" I said, "I ran out of gas." And she just laughed because it wasn't the first time. And I'm telling you, we need to keep filling ourselves up with the grace of God, because it's the grace of God that constrains us. He's bought with a price. And all, the servant is bought with a price. And almost all, Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Amen.
Without Christ shedding his blood on Calvary, we don't have forgiveness.
Right.
We're still under condemnation.
Right.
We're still doomed for hell. But I'm thankful for that blood of the Lamb. God himself, a promise he kept. Abraham took Isaac up, and he said God himself will provide a sacrifice. And Isaac was spared, and I'm glad that Jesus Christ was that final payment, that final sacrifice that God needed. Those who are saved should be and will be rejoicing. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. My old pastor said that oftentimes Christians walk around like they done ate 12 crab apples. I never had a crab apple, but I guess they're pretty sour. And I'm glad that the Lord puts joy in our hearts. When we're saved, we should have joy. We will have joy. And it will be a joy that other people should be able to see. We got a lost and dying world out here, and they're looking for truth, looking for something real. And I'll tell you, true Christians need to stand up, and they need to be rejoicing. They need to be satisfied with Christ alone. They need to stop looking at other things in the world and be ye separate. Be ye holy, for he is holy.
Amen.
Do you know why people are turned off by Christianity, turned off by the church? Because there is no change. We are to be separate from this world. It says to be friends with the world is to be enmity with God. People are looking for something real, something true. And they're only going to find truth in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And he better be living within us. And we better not be trying to live on the edge. Too many people try and see how far they can get. Take one step here, one step. And see how far they can go without sinning. Let me tell you something. You've already sinned at that point because your heart is not right. You're looking to see how close you can get to this world instead of how close you can get to the Savior. So he devalues his importance. He knows his mission. God works not in spite of us or instead of us. Let go and let God, but in us and through us. Let me tell you, serving Jesus is not predicated on our circumstances. Doesn't matter what we're going through, doesn't know what challenges that we may face, what valleys we're in, what mountaintops we're on. Serving Jesus is a consistent journey. He's the one that can calm the waves.
Amen.
And we got to keep our eyes on him. Yeah, that's the only way we're going to get through tough times or when we're on top or when we're on top and we're feeling good and sometimes we get prideful and so we need to make sure that we humble ourselves. Serving Jesus is about giving our circumstances to him to use. I remember when I was called to preach, and I was probably called before I surrendered, and Bible says the foolish things will confound the wise, and that his strength may be perfect in our weakness. And I said, if God can use this disability, this old broken body, and one day I'm going to have a glorified body.
Amen.
So this is only temporary, but I said, if God can use it to bring one person to Christ, one person my whole life, then it'd be all worth it. What is it that God has given you? Maybe you got singing talents and you're not using them for the Lord because you're scared to get up here and sing, or you're timid or shy. The Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And we're not ministering. We're ministering to the Lord.
Yeah.
We're singing praises to the Lord. And I'll tell you, if we can't worship him in here, there's no way that when we go our separate ways,
yeah,
we're going to worship him out there. He gets the glory when we realize that he has to be the one to do something. This ain't about Zach. This ain't about preach. This is about Christ. I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just a servant to Christ. God saves us to use us. You know, I was a little bit older when this came out, but so we never had this growing up, or we didn't know about it. But the Elf on the Shelf, you know, just sit it up on the shelf and it moved. I don't know. I don't have kids, and I got one on the way, and that baby's alive and well, and we're expecting her arrival in just a couple months, and praise the Lord for that. I felt the kick. I've heard it tell RB. Let me tell you, it's alive.
Amen.
And so So anyway, the elf on the shelf, you know, it just sits on the shelf and, you know, the parents forget about it or whatever. After a couple of days, probably collect some dust or whatever, or they get tired of moving it. And then the kids say, you know what? The elf on the shelf has not moved in about 3 days. And they're like, man. The point is that God does not save us to put us on a shelf.
Amen.
We are not a trophy, we're a vessel.
Amen.
And we better be serving Him wherever we're at.
Amen.
I was talking to my old preacher last night, and I heard this in a message a couple months ago that it's important that we be here together. We're gonna be together for all eternity. And I enjoy being with the church, not in the building. That's why I love it. We have summer Sunday nights down at Emerton, and I love it. I love gathering together in the building, but I love to be outside too. Because let me tell you, the power's not in this building. The power's in His church and in the head of the church, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
And so we can serve Him. When people ride up and down this road and see all these cars in this parking lot, you don't think that leaves a good testimony? It does. People notice. People notice. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Christ has a purpose for our salvation. God gives each one of us gifts. Our purpose at the end of the day is to bring glory back to Him.
Amen.
Romans 12:1, I beseech you. He's begging them here. He's saying, brother, by the mercies of God, the mercies of God are renewed every morning.
Amen.
I woke up every day this week. There was challenges, there was valleys, but I'm sure glad that God got me through. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Are we losing ourselves? Is the old man becoming less and less, and the new man becoming more and more? Are we conforming to the image of Christ? Are we becoming more like Him? Bible says, he who loses life shall find it. Many people out here searching for the purpose in life, and they're only going to find it. Some never find it. They die without Christ and die and go to hell. Oh, it's very serious. It's not a nonchalant thing. It's something we need to get burdened over. That there's people in this community, Bel Air community, my community down in Mill River, that are dying, going to hell. We need to pray for our communities, pray for our leaders. Are we losing ourselves? And when we do that, we'll find life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It says he, in Ephesians, it talks about how he quickened us. We were dead in our trespasses. But when we have Jesus, he quickened us. He makes us alive.
Amen.
This is the last one. He devalues his importance, number one. He knows his mission, and the servant trusts his master. there's a benefit to trusting Christ.
Amen.
His yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Amen.
The way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard life to live without Christ. I think about my own life, and I was saved at 13, but I faced some challenges. But I'm glad that I don't have to go through it alone, and we don't have to go through it alone. We don't have to bear our sins. We can confess them and forsake them and give them to Christ. And he's faithful and just to forgive us.
Amen.
That's a promise. That's a promise. It's a free gift to us that cost him everything.
Amen.
There's no other God like him. He's the only God.
That's right.
He's the only God. And he's worthy to be trusted. Because he came for us. How's our prayer life this morning? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is God working on us? He says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. I'm glad that he cares for us. I'm glad, and I'll tell you a personal testimony. Over the last 2 weeks, things got real heavy. Real heavy. But it was meant for my good, because I was reminded that these are burdens that I don't have to bear. I can just lay them at the feet of Jesus, and he'll take care of them. However that looks, he has a plan. No more worry, no more just trusting that he's going to answer our prayers. When God does it, sometimes we can force things. I learned that the hard way too. But when God does it, we can be sure that it's perfect.
Yes.
Amen.
His way is better than our way.
Amen.
Our ways are not his ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So there's a benefit to trusting the Master. And then there's a change of heart. We follow him out of love. We don't do trying to work our way to heaven. He's already taken care of it. But out of love, we are obedient to the Father. And that's what we're missing. That's what we're missing today. Obedience to Christ. Obedience is important to salvation. And when we go through the, you read on, I would encourage you to read through the book of James this week. But he talks about faith without works is dead. If we think we have faith and we're not doing anything for Christ, we're not praying, we're not reading our Bible, we're not using our talents, our gifts that he's given us to use to bring him glory, then faith without works is dead.
Yes.
It means you have no faith. First John 5:3, for this is the love of God, I'm almost done, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. everything that God commands us to do is for our benefit. He wants to protect us. He can't protect us outside of His Word. But if we stay in His Word, there's protection. It's not a burden to follow Christ. He can bear our load. He bore our sin at Calvary. To continue in sin, to continue without Christ, leads to heartache, pain, like I said before, eternal separation from God. There's a world out here that they're at enmity with God, but they need Him. They need Christ. And even though they don't recognize that, truth is truth. They're bearing loads that are heavy for them. Wears them down, beats them up, when Christ has just given to me. I often think about people that don't believe in God, and they might get the news that they have cancer or a loved one has cancer. How do you deal with that if you don't believe in God? How do you go through that alone? You don't have to. And I'm going to encourage you. I'm done. I'm going to encourage you that if somebody here don't know Christ as their Savior today, I pray you make that decision.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is real this morning. And it's the Holy Spirit that is going to draw us to Him. We had a guy just a couple weeks ago. And it happened all the time. The Holy Spirit to draw on somebody. And they leave the door. They leave the church. And I'm telling you that sometimes He'll draw you. Sometimes He'll draw you, and you'll leave this door. You'll leave this church house, and He might not ever draw you again. And all He says is, "Come to Me. Trust in Me. Confess. Forsake." Believe that what He did on Christ on Calvary was final, and that paid our sin debt. And then trust in Him. He's asking that. It's a day by day journey. But I'm telling you that it's a very serious thing. I've seen people drawn by the Holy Spirit and pride. The enemy, whatever it may be, lets them walk out that door. And that could be it. You're not promised 5 minutes from now. You're not promised 30 seconds from now. The rapture could come in the next 5 seconds. I pray you just make that decision if you're here today and don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That you make that choice today.
Amen.
Before it's eternally too late. Amen.